Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome to Bottom Up Radio Network. This is your host, Rabble Rouser. Tonight we will be talking about a bunch of fun shit. Tonight I'm flying solo, and we're going to be discussing something that has been an instrumental part of my life, punk rock. And so if you feel like calling in tonight, if you have a history of being involved in punk rock, the call-in number is 646-200-3974. And I'm going to start off with the most classic, cliche, anarchist punk rock song ever. Just because I don't give a fuck and I want to smoke a cigarette and it's about 3 minutes long. So here it is. This is a song that shot anarchism into the spotlight for a lot of people. Not at all the philosophy or the spirit or the rich history of anarchism, rather just the mere word anarchy. And possibly actually tainted the way mainstream America and the world in general views anarchists for a long time. But we don't really give a shit. It's a funny song. And as soon as my switchboard is working, then I would gladly play it for you. So, again, the call-in number tonight is going to be 646-200-3974. If you are trying to call in tonight, we had a lot of people trying to call in last week, and our switchboard wasn't refreshing itself to show new callers on there. So, it became quite an impossible task for us to know if you were calling because it wasn't letting us know you were there. I apologize for that, but I think you'll get over it. But at any rate, I hope that it will be working tonight. I'll be doing my best to restart the computer if I notice it's not working. So give a call, 646-200-3974. In the meantime, stand up and pogo around. Bottom Up Radio Network, motherfucker! fucking classic. I don't know what else to say. One of my favorite memories of that song has got to be sitting in a karaoke bar in bumfuck St. Charles, Missouri, and hearing a 45-year-old art teacher by the name of Michael Leisner perform that song in a room full of cowboys on stage at karaoke night, nearly getting our asses kicked. It's fucking brilliant. Love that guy. But yes, tonight we're going to be talking about the politics of punk. But first, I do want to give a few updates on what's happening. In Vancouver, the Olympics kicked off last night on stolen native land, and the resistance is fucking strong. In fact, the torchbearer, by all reports, was forced into a cop car and driven to safety because the protesters were barring the torch from entering the Olympic arena. Amongst other curses that have been placed upon this Olympics, we had a loser die before the Olympics even started. We had no snow on the mountaintops. And then just in the last couple of days, it may have been today, I'm not sure, I just got the article today, but the CEO of ConocoPhillips died in an avalanche in Alaska, unrelated to the Olympics, but related to corporate colonialism. You know, it's always good to hear about a CEO dying in my book. So tonight does not go out to him. Fuck him. Tonight goes out to all of our comrades in Vancouver. If you want to find out what's happening, there are Twitter feeds going on that give constant updates of what's happening in Vancouver. And also, if you have done some solidarity actions in your town, whether it be only call in if it's above ground actions, please. I don't want to implicate anybody on our show. But if you guys have had a march of some sort or a protest in front of some of the corporations who have been involved with bringing this bullshit there, then please call in. We had a small but vital action in downtown Portland where they were broadcasting the Olympic. What's the fucking thing called, the opening ceremonies on two big screens, and a banner went up in front of the governor, in front of the stage. A couple brave comrades threw up a big banner that said stop corporate colonialism, no 2010 Olympics on stolen native land, and immediately were escorted away from the square. But it was a fun action to be at. However, it has caused quite a stir in Portland with some reactions from people. Pretty funny shit, if you ask me. If you criticize anarchists, they just get so super defensive and start attacking. So it's fucking hilarious. There were 9 people who showed up in Portland. Now, anybody who's not from Portland might be aware of the reputation that this city has for being a hotbed of radicalism. I found it to be completely disgusting that only 9 people showed up. But the blame that everybody's pointing at is the lack of organization, that nobody organized anything around it. This is fucking ridiculous, people. We don't need organizers. This was an event that was clearly publicized. It's an event that needed to be disrupted, and people just didn't show up because they didn't have a flyer with their with some bullshit clip art on it and some militant rhetoric behind it. Now, keep in mind, there was plenty of space for direct actions to take place there. There was also plenty of space for above and underground actions all around it, but people just didn't find it important enough to come out to. Well, that's fine. I say fuck off, but, you know, people have the choice to do what they want. That's it's completely up to them. That's one of the things I believe strongly in. I just think that if we're going to be taking a stance of being an anarchist and believing in disrupting the business as usual processes, then we need to be accountable to ourselves and to our comrades and stand up at every moment, whether or not there's going to be hundreds of people present or not. And so, you know, if you were sitting around eating, your radical food from dumpsters with your radical friends talking Chomsky instead of being in Pioneer Square, well, eat shit and die. Or not, you know, or eat healthy and live long. I really don't give a shit. Point is, you should have been there. But it's not over. It's not over. There is plenty of actions to be taken. Some of the major sponsors of the Olympics this year are McDonald's, because nothing says healthy living and athletic lifestyle like McDonald's. Coca-Cola. Locally, Northwest Natural was a big supporter. They, in fact, were one of the companies that helped to push for a directional meeting between governors and the Pacific Northwest region to help assist Vancouver with getting the bid for the Olympics on stolen native land. And if you want to check it out, go to twitter.com/stimulator. That's twitter.com/stimulator, and you'll get you'll get updates. The most recent update is there's been allegations that that the no2010.com website is an arson website, and there's a response to that. But follow the Twitter feeds, see what's happening. Go to the no2010.com, that's no2010.com. Check it out, what it's about. If it's something you're not sure of or you don't know about, learn about it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with not knowing as long as you take the time to learn. So check it out and see what our comrades are up to in the north. Also, some local happenings in Portland. If you are a Portlander and you're listening to this show, every Friday at Nicholas Unger Furs, downtown Portland, there's a protest of the last bastion of fur stores in Portland, Oregon. And it's important that people show up to this to be in solidarity with our comrades that are there. Whether you're vegan or not, we can all agree that the practice of capitalism and decimation of entire species for the fashion of the rich is bullshit and needs to be fought against. If anything else, what else do you have going on Friday? And that's every Friday. I think it's from 3 to 5 p.m. It might start earlier than that, but you could find that out. If you go at 3 o'clock on a Friday, you'll definitely know there's people there. So check that out. Also, if you have information on these actions, call in 646-200-3974. More Portland events. This next coming up Friday, in front of City Hall, there's been a call for an action of solidarity to stand against police violence in Portland. What a lot of people don't know about green city is that one of the reasons that gentrification looks so goddamn liberal here and so safe with so many doggy daycares and green fitness centers is because of George Bush's urban removal program. Or wait, what did he call it? Maybe he called it urban renewal. I don't really give a shit what he called it. What it really means is they're kicking the poor and people of color out of their neighborhoods to make room for safe white neighborhoods for liberals with Obama signs. And I'm really sick of these fucking assholes. In my job, I'm responsible for going door-to-door to organize people against various timber sales taking place in the Mount Hood National Forest region. And without fail, I'll knock on 5 or 6 doors a night that have Obama placards in their windows or bumper stickers on their Priuses, and they don't even talk to me. They won't open the door. They just tell me to go away. These fucking assholes will vote for a community organizer abstractly, but when one comes to the door, they won't speak to him. So fuck them. But the action that's taking place on this Friday is going to be an action specifically against the most recent police killing in Portland of Aaron Campbell, a 25-year-old black man whose brother had died earlier in the day. He had been very sick, and Aaron was taking care of his brother. Upon the death of his brother, Aaron was distraught and seemingly suicidal. The police were called to help calm a suicidal situation, which is pretty common. This happens. People get on the brink of suicide, and family members will call the police because we are at such a loss of how to be in communication with one another that we feel we have to call baby killers in to do the job for us. And this is not against the family of Aaron Campbell. I'm saying that this is a systemic problem in our culture that we call the police for everything. In fact, I'm guilty of it myself. I'm guilty of never calling the police on somebody, but when I'm at a loss for understanding what's happening with a friend who can't be contacted or I feel somebody might be in trouble, might have been hurt in an accident, that's my only my only option has been to call the police in the past to find out what the hospital intakes are for the night or whatnot. So the police could serve a purpose. I don't like them, and I wish they would go away, and I'm fighting to make that happen. But if they're here, the only job that is valid for them to serve is to be a public servant, not to be a criminal enforcement agency, not to be a poor criminalizing agency, because they criminalize the poor, and definitely not to have guns and shoot people with them. This particular incident with Aaron Campbell took place last week. He was on the brink of suicide and was talked out of the house by the police. Now, upon coming out of his house, with his hands raised apparently, police fired upon him with beanbags. He turned to escape the beanbags and was struck in the back by one, reached to grab his back where he had just been hit with a high-force air rifle beanbag, which those fucking hurt. If anybody out there has been hit by them, you know that they fucking hurt. And upon reaching for his back, being that he was a black man, obviously he had a gun in his underwear, right? No, he didn't. He was unarmed. But he was shot in the back with an AR-15 assault rifle. You can do this by Googling Aaron Campbell, A-A-R-O-N, space C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L. And the second article down is put out by the Mental Health of Portland Association. I'm not going to say this... this article is a great article, but this will give you a little bit of a breakdown on what's happening here with this case. He was shot and killed by an officer. I'm trying to find his name right now. My computer's running a little slow. But again, the phone lines are open if you have more information on this case. Let's see. Okay, I'm having trouble finding it. It's convenient that a lot of these articles don't even mention the name of the pig that did the killing. This cop had been in trouble in the past for being a pig. Apparently, that you can only be piggish so much, but if you're too piggish, then you make the other pigs look bad. So I can't find his name right now. Of the officer, and as soon as I find it, I will find it tonight, and I will let you know. At any rate, if you're in the Portland area, this Friday, there's been a call for action at City Hall at 3:30, I believe, is the time set for that. So that's in downtown Portland. If you're not in Portland, I know that one thing we do have in common from all of our listeners around the world is that there are police in your area. So you can also do solidarity action in your town by demanding the immediate cease and desist of all police violent action. And this can look anything like a protest, a march, a vigil. A few signs and a few people standing in front of the police station to shame them is enough. It's not enough, but it's what we can do right now. Until we're ready to completely stand up and rise up in the streets with a threatening force, much like we've seen in other cities in America, such as Oakland, after Oscar Grant was senselessly killed while handcuffed and face down on the ground in the BART station in Oakland, or such as how Alexander Grigoropoulos' death has been avenged for a year straight now by anarchists in Greece and around the world, then we have to be able to take any action that we feel okay with at this time. We don't have the network and support for a complete uprising. I can see that. I know that that's true. Not that a spontaneous uprising could not occur, because it definitely does. And it's not only anarchists. In fact, it's rarely anarchists that create these social uprisings. But it is anarchists at times that do. At any rate, you too can fight against the police institution in your city. So Friday is the day for solidarity action this Friday. So I'd like to get some reports over the weekend and next week about some solidarity actions in your town. So give us a call, 646-200-3974, or hop in the chat room. You have to have a Blog Talk Radio account to do that, but it's quick, easy, and free to get one of those. Also, you can log on to bottomupradicalnetwork.ning.com and start an account on our site there. That's a free posting website for blog, video, music, pictures, all sorts of media, whatever media it is. Join that up. Come join us on that site. It'd be good to have people on there. So now we've got some of those reports out of the way. If there's no other reports that people want to phone in, then we can start talking about the stuff I want to talk about tonight. I'm trying to find for everybody the possibility of having some audio updates of what's happening in Vancouver throughout the night. But what I do want to discuss tonight, and why I'm guessing some people might be listening if they're first-time listeners, is the politics of punk. Punk rock has been an institution in the world now for well over 30 years. We're looking, some people would argue 35 or 36 years, some would argue more, some would say less. But I'm not really interested in the academic scientific breakdown of when punk made its appearance or any of that. What I'm interested in is if you are politicized today, chances are at some point in your politicization, the radicalization of your politics, punk rock has been involved. Be it a friend who had radical ideas based in veganism, based in straight edge, based in anarchism, prisoner support, all of these ideas. God, they're limitless. Anti-racist, anti-sexist, anti-homophobic ideas. All of these ideas of upheaval and smashing of oppression have been voiced largely and loudly in punk rock music. I know that I had interest in politics before I listened to punk rock. I had interest in politics going back to being a young kid when seeing how labor politics worked in my family, with my father being a steel worker and my mother being a factory worker with Westinghouse and with Anchor Hawking, a glass company in Indiana. I saw the politics of being poor and struggling and striking parents. So I had that interest. I had that fire. I also had an experience of being raised in a black family as a white man or white boy at that time for a number of years. And I saw the racial politics of small town Midwest living and just how fucked up it was. And I knew it was wrong. And I looked for ways to fight it. I looked for mediums to give voice to that. And one of the things that I found was reading radical literature, reading things like the autobiography of Malcolm X. I read that in junior high because there was a Spike Lee movie was coming out shortly after that, and I wanted to read the book before I saw the movie. And I was interested in these ideas. A lot of it was over my head, and I've reread it since then, and it's changed the way I see it by the experience of my life. But I still didn't feel quite right. I listened to things like Public Enemy. I listened to a lot of hip hop and rap music that had political undertones to it. But still, I wasn't involved in a community, and I didn't have that support until I moved to Tucson, Arizona. And after being there for nearly a year, I was invited in to go to a place called the DPC, the Downtown Performance Center, to go see a punk rock show. And I had been to shows before. I had been to see the Dead Milkmen and Guided by Voices, shows like that. But it was a little bit of a different scene going with your best friend's older brothers than it was being of age yourself, going with a friend, people your age, and discovering that there was a place that was run by punk rock kids for punk rock kids. And I saw bands there. I didn't stop going after the first night, and I was quickly adopted into this family of a punk rock community. And from that stemmed a basis from which to stand. It stemmed, it created an environment of thought and of action, reaction, ideas, and experiments. Experimenting with your politics, experimenting with radicalism, going to school, wearing a shirt that says "Go Vegan," seeing what that does, going to school wearing a shirt that says fuck the police, and seeing how long, how many class periods you could get away with it before you were forced to turn it inside out or go home. But making those stands because you had somebody getting your back, and you knew that they were going to be there thicker than, and you knew they supported you. That was the most important aspect at that time for punk rock with me. But as other bands started coming through, I started learning. And I started learning things that I've never found anywhere else other than the punk rock world. And this was, keep in mind, 17 years ago at this point. A lot may have changed. I don't go to punk rock shows anymore, so I'm not involved with the punk rock community or punk rock scene. But I can tell you that it's been instrumental in creating a basis for disruption and a basis for experimentation. And it was bands that brought us news, our updates, our world politics updates. They didn't come from things like Democracy Now, because Democracy Now was a very small, unheard of show in the mid '90s. It wasn't the nationally broadcast show that it is today. There were things like NPR, but NPR is full of shit, and we all knew that. Even back then, we knew that. There were various zines that these bands would bring that had far more information than any media news source that I've ever seen. And not only did they have information, but they also offered up ideas, and they challenged status quo, and they gave points of argument that were irrefutable in many cases. There were amazing zines out there talking about veganism, talking about anti-racist action, talking about history, talking about conspiracy theories, talking about ways to live in a more DIY fashion, a do-it-yourself fashion. And that is what has radicalized the entire generation of people that I came to age with. Who have stuck with politics. I know for a fact that it could not be said that punk rock did not play a vital role in that. And it was bands like Los Crudos who informed us about what was happening in Chiapas with the Zapatista movement. And so I'm going to play a Los Crudos song now. This song is called Asesinos, and it's about the FBI assassins and the CIA assassins in Central America. This is Los Crudos. They're from Chicago, Illinois, and they were a radical Latino punk rock band that was highly influential. There it is, Los Crudos, Asesino. It's music like that. It's fucking raw energy. It's the rage. It's the anger. It's the violence. All of it is so goddamn alluring and so goddamn comforting. Living and growing up in a society that tells us that we have to grin and bear it, and we have to take it, and we have to distract ourselves from it. Punk rock says, fuck you. This is it. This is the world, and this is who I am. That's what's so fucking wonderful about it. Of course, there's thousands upon thousands of punk rock bands that aren't worth a shit. They don't have anything to say. They believe in nihilism and go nowhere. But there are the few and the strong, the powerful fucking Marines of punk rock. I mean, there's no other way to put it. These are soldiers. These are people who are performing a duty that is a vital duty that folk music used to perform before it became easy listening. This is not anything new with music, but what's new with punk is the rage and the anger and the aggression, and it's done by kids just like you and me. It's not specialists. There's nobody in that fucking room who's more important than anybody else. The stages, in fact, didn't exist. The only thing a stage was there for, if there was a stage at all, was to jump off of, to get on top of the fucking crowd, to sing along louder into the microphone. There was no need for fucking any of the hullabaloo that we see today at punk rock shows. I went to a show a couple of years ago to see an old friend's band who was on tour with a band called The Used, and I was disgusted at the shopping mall mentality of punk rock. It's fucking disgusting. There's nothing being said, and therefore there's nothing being done. People wonder why we have one of the most lethargic generations out there who are allowing for these wars to go on. And of course, if you are part of the resistance, this isn't addressed to you. There are people fighting out there, obviously, I know this. But look around at punk rock shows and look at the lack of energy and the lack of rage and the lack of anger. It's a fucking fashion show, and it's a fucking strip mall. It's ridiculous and it's soulless in a lot of ways, but the underground is still fucking strong. The house shows, the fucking basement shows, this is where it's still at. It's happening today. It's been happening for 30 fucking years now, 40 years. People have been gathering together in spaces that are otherwise unheard of for venues, and fucking destroying the place with loud, abrasive, aggressive music, beating the shit out of each other and giving each other a hug afterwards. And the whole time discussing politics, discussing ideas, and forming bonds that are unbreakable. And some of the ideas that have been produced through punk rock that have come into light in more of a broad spectrum are ideas like insurrection, and ideas asking questions about things. Like one of the greatest punk rock songs in my eyes, that lays it out clearly and consciously is by a band by the name of Crass. So that's Crass. Do they owe us a living? Of course they fucking do. Songs like this that just spit venom in the face of rational argument. You can't argue with shit like that. You can talk about the academics of economics and of social uprisings all fucking day, and we can postulate and philosophize all we want. But when it comes down to it, the answer is always at its core, because fuck them, that's why. And that's punk rock. That's what punk rock has always been for me. It's been a because fuck them, that's why. There's no need to expound upon any of the situations, because we live the situations. So fuck them, that's why. Phone lines are open, 646-200-3974. Give us a ring or hop in the chat room. I'm going to refresh the switchboard here just to see if anybody's trying to call in. But do you have any punk rock background, punk rock experience, something that's been introduced to you through punk rock? Give us a call tonight. That's what we're going to be talking about. I don't have many songs loaded up because it takes a long time to load these songs in sometimes, and it's and I honestly just don't own that much punk rock anymore. But I know that deep inside of me, it's deeply rooted that that's where I come from today. That's where I am today. Is because of punk rock, and it's given me a larger respect for other art forms and other styles of music because I could understand the community aspect and the deep-rootedness. Of course, it's got its problems. Everything has its problems. And, of course, there's people that just won't like it, or there's people that will just listen to it for the music or for the scene. But fuck them. That's why. So I'm going to play some more punk rock for us right now. Let's see. I'm looking for something fun here that I uploaded. Okay, this illustrates the sense of humor and the seriousness at the same time of punk rock. This song is by a band called NoFX, and this pretty much says it all.
Song. Well, let me do a couple more.
They don't care that it's our last song. They just want us to get the fuck off.
This song's old. You probably never heard it, and it pretty much sucks.
Oh, right. So that's a live performance of Kill All the White Men by NOFX. Possibly one of the most fun bands that exists in the punk rock world. I've seen those guys many times live and fucking spent years listening to those records with my friends singing along. You know, even despite its goofiness, the absolute best aspects of Community is its ability to have a sense of humor. And I think that's one of the vital lessons that punk rock taught me, is the ability to find the absurdity in situations that are just far too heavy to take too seriously. And that's fucking important, and that's one thing that we're missing a lot of times, too. Whereas entertainment is really important, it's good to have a sense of self that leads to a sense of irony and a sense of laughter. But you know, I feel like I want some people to call in tonight. I know that there's some people listening that said they were really interested in this specific topic tonight. 646-200-3974. Call in and share your fucking stories, people. That's what punk rock is about. It's about not even needing the courage to be in front of people, because you're surrounded by people who are just like you, and in so many different ways. And that's what's always been fucking great about this music and the scenes that have developed around them. Some of the more specific topics that are discussed in punk rock, outside of the broad range, one topic in particular that I've seen develop from a position of coming from punk rock, notably in my life and in the lives of friends of mine, is the issue of animal liberation, animal struggle, and veganism. And probably the greatest band to do that in my opinion is a band by the name of Propagandhi, out of Canada. These guys have always held it down in a way that is intelligent, informed, hilarious, angry, and full of energy. And they've never compromised on any of their albums. Not sure what's going on with them these days. I know that their last album, Supporting Cast, has a lot of friends have really been into it. I've only heard a couple tracks from it. I dug what I heard, but you know, it's one of those things that if any of the songs from the first three albums are ever playing anywhere in my vicinity, it'll be in my head for days, and I'll be singing along at the top of my lungs because that's what I have to do. So I'm gonna play one of their. There's songs from an album called Let's Talk More Rock that talks about one of the issues that they're most vehement about promoting is the idea of veganism and the idea of questioning hierarchy and what that can look like in forms outside of just the politics of humanity, but the politics of living in the, and the community of the world. And, you know, whether you agree or don't, whether you live a vegan lifestyle or not, it's irrefutable that these issues need to be discussed. All issues need to be discussed, and this is something that needs to be a topic that people can talk openly about without necessarily passing judgment on the lifestyleism that takes place in our lives, but with encouraging debate. And we have Propagandhi to thank for a lot of that debate. We also have a lot of shitheads to thank for writing people off based simply on lifestyleism, which is a pretty fucking generally white male American idea, is to see how somebody lives their life and automatically proclaim them the enemy without knowing who they are. I don't think that is inherently punk rock. I think that there's assholes in all aspects of life, and some of them just happen to pay the same cover charge and get in the door.
Stop consuming animals.
Single side wouldn't recognize the border between reason and sanity. If I consider it a measure of my humanity to be written off by the living graves of a million murdered lives. And I'm not ashamed of my recurring dreams about being a gun and a kid for speaking of carnage soon about the stock that factories of farm. So I know as well as anyone, it's a less good than harm. To be honest with my conscience, deny that meat is still murder, dairy still rape, and I am still as stupid as anyone, but I know my mistake, and I have recognized what's normal, but record now I recognize the rest. Life's too short to make others shorter.
Okay, I was actually listening to the song playing on a computer in the other room and forgot that my show has got a little bit of a delay on it from the computer. So sorry about the dead air there. That was Propagandhi nailing Descartes to the wall. Fucking great band. Look them up. Read some of their lyrics, which is, you know, one of the most important aspects. But definitely check it out. If you've never heard them, or if you have heard them, re-listen, man. Live it up again. It's not bad to live in 96 all over again. Been doing it a lot lately. And there's new shit coming out nonstop from those guys. Supporting cast, and there's another album coming out soon as well. I heard the title of it recently, or one of the ideas for a title, but I don't remember what it was. But Propagandhi.com, you can find it all there. So let's see. I'm going to go back a little bit further into the canals of the annals of punk rock history. This is a band that definitely has been one of the most influential bands. Wow, there's a lot of stuff coming on here. Is this going to just take it all in? No. One of the most influential bands across the board. I got talking about anal, and all of a sudden I lost track of what I was saying. hold on. Fuck. There we go. Okay. This band, when Joe Strummer, the singer of this band, The Clash, died, I remember there not being as much of a shockwave as I expected in the mainstream. But let's hold on. I got a caller here. I know who this guy is. What the fuck do you have to say about it, hippie?
Nice. Are you guys talking about the dead? I fucking love the Grateful Dead.
Oh, geez, 20 sided die, you fucking hippie.
What up, bitches? Just on my way home from the store, getting Valentine's dinner ready to make my wife, and thought I'd call in and check out this fucking show. I hear some people have been doing, talking about music and shit.
Yeah, talking some shit, taking some names, you know.
Do we have a special guest with us tonight?
No, I haven't gotten confirmed from anybody. I know that there's a couple possibilities of people that might be calling in, and like Brendan Desmet may call in. He's the singer of Groundwork and Absinthe and Bury Me Standing, one of my oldest and best friends from punk rock. One of my punk rock gurus taught me a lot about it, and but he's a pretty staunch animal rights activist, has been for 20 years now, and he's that's led him into a career of being a veterinarian of some sort. He works at an animal rescue hospital, and so he's at a convention right now of animal rescue workers in Las Vegas. So whatever he's doing stays there, apparently, is what I hear.
Hey, and when, by the way, when civilization crashes, sorry, Vegas, you guys are fucked.
Yeah, well, seriously. Yeah, once the Glen Canyon Dam goes down, Vegas is fucking unheard of.
It's just desert at that point. By the way, I have a
signs.
Exactly. I have. By the way, I have a. This has nothing to do with punk rock music, but I have a total man crush on George Heyduke. I want him to be real.
Oh, really? You do? Because I tell you what's interesting about that. He is real, and he's on our show in 2 weeks.
Oh, snap. Oh,
wow. That sound planned there, that little segue. you would almost think that we had planned something like that.
Yeah, exactly. There's no way. No, but yeah. Motorcycle Gang is fucking awesome.
Motorcycle Gang?
Such a killer
gang?
Book. Dude. The Monkey Wrench Gang.
Fuck. No, dude, Motorcycle Diaries is awesome. And then,
dude, we're having Leonardo DiCaprio on the show?
Oh, my God. Yeah, no.
Monkey Wrench Gang is fucking awesome. Dude, it's so funny and badass.
Yeah, and I'm actually reading Walking It Off, Veterans Chronicle of War and Wilderness, written by Doug Peacock. It's his newest book where he talks about a lot of his post-traumatic stress and how he embraced the wilderness to fight that, to battle against what happened to him in Vietnam, and how his friendship with Ed Abbey, most of this so far has dealt with Ed Abbey and their friendship together, and talks openly about the actions that created the basis for Hey Duke. Even to Ed Abbey's dying request, which I don't want to go into this too much, but we'll, sure, we'll be talking about this again when Doug's on, but his dying request required Doug Peacock to pull up the spirit of George Hey Duke for Ed Abbey's dying request. It's pretty phenomenal.
That's pretty awesome.
That kind of dynamic, yeah. But no, special guest tonight, nobody's calling in for sure tonight. So we're just going to have to see if anybody calls in on the fly. But yeah, like I was saying, Brendan is in he's at a animal rescue thing, which is one of the interesting things I'm going to talk about is how punk rock has shaped our lives. I know that Brendan got into veganism through punk rock, and now that's what his career is based in animal rescue. And so how has punk rock shaped your life, G20?
Dude, well, let me see. And I'm gonna go through my real deal history with punk rock. It began in 1994. I was 15, and Jehovah's Witness and this other Jehovah's Witness kid I was real good buddies with was really into The Dead Milkmen, NoFX, my personal favorite, Rancid.
I didn't load any Rancid tonight. I don't have any Rancid on my computer. I should have loaded some Rancid.
Rancid is the shit. I think they're my favorite. But I remember, and Green Day, 1993, 94, Green Day. And I remember him playing this shit for me, and I just remember thinking, dude, these guys are fucking, this is not only, I mean, like, to me, good punk. I mean, the speed punk shit, that's just, you know, I'm not into that. But so you get some good shit, like, you know, like I said, the bands I just listed, and, you know, you can tap your foot to it, but it's also raw and awesome, you know, but you can dance to it a little. And,
you can dance your ass off to it.
Yeah. And,
it happens to be the dancing your ass off looks like beating the shit out of your best friend.
Exactly.
It's fucking great. The best of all worlds right there. It's fucking phenomenal.
I'll never forget going to, there was a set of punk bands that had booked a spot. This is in 1994 probably, had booked some community center for their free punk show. It was one of my first experiences in a mosh pit. It was totally like the fucking, who's the Mooseheads? You know those old guys, the secret society that's kind of public? You know, they got the Mooseheads, the Masons, the fucking,
Benevolent Order of the Antelope.
Yeah, bear carcasses or whatever. You know, it was at one of those fucking halls that they'd rent us with pictures of old people wearing those funny hats everywhere.
Probably Elk's Lodge.
That's exactly what it was. It was Elk's Lodge.
Yeah. Elk's Lodge is renowned for hosting punk rock shows because they have a policy of renting their spaces out to anybody in the public. So kids in small towns all over the country. I can't tell you how many times I've played Elk's Lodges or how many fucking bands I've seen or booked at an Elk's Lodge in various cities I've lived in throughout the country. I swear to fucking God, like small towns, the punk shows are at the Elk's Lodge.
That's so awesome. I guess God bless them.
But, Oh,
no, I was just going to say, it was in, the 15, 16, where I was first exposed to punk in any kind of form, and it was ironically through a Jehovah's Witness kid who I think later became an atheist, and straight edge atheist.
What do you mean later he became an atheist? He's a Jehovah's Witness. They're already atheists.
Hey! unless you believe Jesus is Lord, you pretty much don't believe in God. But
what was it like growing up without a birthday?
Dude, well, it was interesting because, when I was 11, 12, my mom, who wasn't a witness, who is not a witness, started to give me birthday parties. She asked me one day, she's like, do you want to have birthday parties? She's like, it might not always be on the day of your birthday. And I was like, well, shit, yeah. And I'd always wanted to go to Chuck E. Cheese's. When
you're 12 years old? Come on.
So when I was 12, I finally get a Chuck E. Cheese's birthday, and I'm like 7 years older than all the other kids there.
Pizza and video games, it's still the fucking foundation of your life. It's great.
Exactly. Video games and animatronic beasts.
Right.
So, yeah, no, it's totally weird, you know, especially like coming back from Christmas, holidays, and all that shit, and coming back, and everybody's got new shit, you know, new shoes, new coats, and they're like, what'd you get, Travis? I got these fucking shitty generic Pro Wings or XJ900s that my stepmom bought me.
LA Gear, dog. LA Gear.
Oh, snap.
with the light in the heel.
Ooh.
Fuck yeah. Name drop. Middle class.
That's punk rock.
Absolutely.
That is punk rock. What are the punk rock? What's the punk rock? Punk rock shoes. Is it Doc Martens? Is that really? Or is that more like mall punk rock?
No, I mean, Docs are the old school punk rock, like skinhead thing. But Chucks, dude, it's all about the Chuck Taylors. Come on.
Okay, cool.
Come on, Converse Chuck Taylors. That was the shoe. That or Army Surplus boots with spikes. I had these Army Surplus boots, and all the other kids had spikes, and I didn't have a place to get spikes, so I went to a fucking golf store, and I bought golf shoe spikes. And I put them all over the fucking toes of my boots. Those things are viciously sharp. And
totally.
I remember getting stopped on a plane. I was 14. I was flying from Arizona to Ohio to spend the summer with my dad. And I had spiked bracelets. I had my fucking spiked necklace and my chain necklace and my mohawk and my fucking what shirt was it? I think it was my MDC shirt, my Millions of Dead Cops shirt. That said, every cop deserves to be shot at least once in his career. And I had that shirt on, and I got stopped by airport security, and I was told to take off my spikes, and then they noticed my boots were just these fucking weapons of mass destruction in and of themselves, and they asked me to take my boots off, and I threw a fit. I was just like, I'm not taking my fucking shoes off. Like, you know, no. And they're like, we have to remove every one of those spikes. And so I finally, just in a punk rock rage, took my boots off and fucking threw them behind the fucking thing, and I was like, keep them. And I started walking, and the guy, like, mall security got in their little walkie-talkie thing, and the guy came over to me, and he grabbed me, and I thought I was in big trouble. And he brought me back, and he's like, we can put these in a box for you, you know. And so I had to put my boots in a box and ship them. So when I got off the plane in fucking was it Cleveland I flew in that? Whatever, Ohio. I got off the plane, and I had just socks on, and I had to walk to the fucking luggage department to get my boots, and I put my fucking boots and my spikes back on, and I felt like a fucking person again. Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious. See what punk rock did to you? You know, but I think it's interesting that, I mean, this is the power of punk, I'd say, is that, or at least one of the powers of punk, is that it's the, I would say, if not the most, one of the most common stereotypes associated with anarchism. And I'd say that's not a bad thing. That's not a compliment. I mean, or that is a compliment. You know what I mean? I think that's a great stereotype. You know, this is just the effect that music has. And I think that punk channels.
It's a threat. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight. So thank you for actually segueing that as well. The threatening aspect of punk rock.
Mm-hmm.
It was dangerous. It was dangerous to go to these shows. You didn't know what was going to happen. It was a level of violence and a level of aggression that was accepted and acceptable because it was our own violence. It was our own aggression. It wasn't forced down upon us by somebody else. It was coming out of us. It was this like fucking organic kind of violence that would just seep out of every fucking note from the fucking amplifiers and just rage through the crowd, forcing you to go into spasmodic glee and just start fucking punching shit. And nobody got hurt at the end of the night, but it looked scary as fuck. And we were dangerous. When you would see us walking through the mall, I got stopped we would go to the mall in Tucson because, like, we were fucking poor. We didn't have air conditioning that was worth a shit. So we'd spend our summer days at the mall skateboarding and fucking, you know, eating Orange Julius's. All the punk rock kids. And we would fucking get stopped by mall security all the time. I had a South Tucson Police Department shirt on, and this fucking mall cop took me in and berated me for wearing a dead cop shirt. And I was like, this isn't a dead cop shirt. I stole this shit from my friend's dad, who's a fucking South Tucson pig. Like, you know, and like just the threat of being there and being – that was a threat. And now it's a fucking advertising campaign. You go to the mall down by Pioneer Square, you walk by, and what do you see in the window? Huge fucking anarchy symbols and fucking Banksy artwork and punk rock everything. It's fucking disgusting. And it's
it also shows the uncanny way that the capitalism can appropriate, capitalism and the state, or I guess that's just one and the same thing, isn't it? But can appropriate things that are just like can be the most ironic things of them all. You know what I mean? I think it's like all the other ironic things, you know, like clean coal and, you know, ridiculous concepts like that. And it's just like shows the frightening power. I mean, you know, like the other night, Flavor Flav was in some commercial, and I guess he had a sitcom recently called Cali Cal, and he'd come into the room and go, Cali Cal, and he had a huge, instead of Flavor Flav, and he had huge clocks and everything for necklaces, right? And that guy's a fucking ridiculous caricature, but, you know, when I think about, like, for me, like, you know, I got really into rap music in, in that same chunk of time, you know, in the 90s, and, like, Public Enemy, you know, was at their genesis, was, I would say, was as threatening as frightening as, you know, the most part
posed on there for their album with the Black Liberation Army. I mean, that was scary as fuck. And why was
totally.
It scary? Because white kids were buying that shit.
Oh,
and
dude, like crazy.
Dude, I was looking for some Public Enemy to throw on the show tonight, and I couldn't fucking find any free downloads online. And, but, dude, yeah. I mean, it was, yeah, the Public Enemy was a fucking threat. Absolutely. And now I see Chuck D years later, and he's talking about taking back the power by voting.
Oh, well, sure. And dude, look at Flavor Flav. I mean, you know, like he's literally like a reality show. Like, I mean, not, and you know, that's, to me, that's not just appropriating. That's just like appropriating and twisting into some cruel, cruel mockery. And it's throwing it back in our faces. I mean, it's one of the subtle, more subtle ways that our, you know, the authoritarian institutions of civilization function is by not only appropriating the things which at one time had threatened it, but turning it into a joke, almost as if though to tell us that, dude, you can throw what, you know, and of course this isn't true in terms of resistance, but it's as though the message they're sending is you can throw whatever you want at us, and not only will we appropriate it, but we'll turn it into a joke. And everyone will laugh at us. So people can look at, you can start talking about how, you know, the power of Public Enemy and their music back in the day, and people can immediately respond with, yeah, well, look at what Flavor Flav has become. Not much of a fucking radical, blah, blah, blah. And it's, boom, written off. I mean, it's such an effective thought campaign to take our art and twist it and puke it back out at us.
Right, but,
and
but
go,
have you heard Terminator X lately? I mean, Terminator X from Public Enemy is still radical as fuck. Still black nationalists as fuck, like, and black nationalism I don't necessarily fucking agree with. I think that it's separatism.
Yeah, but it threatens the system.
But it's fucking powerful, right? It's a threat to the system, so I gotta support it, you know? Like, I gotta say, like, I'm down with that language. I just played a song before you called in by NoFX called Kill All the White Men. You know, I believe that shit. Why not? You know? Like, it's never been done. Let's try it. Fuck it. Like,
totally,
they kill
totally.
All the indigenous. And we see where that's gotten us. Let's see what it's like when they kill all the white men. Maybe it'll change.
Right.
Who the fuck knows?
Right.
If not,
right.
You know, whatever. What if we make the world a better place for nothing, right?
yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, hey, I have to sign off. I'm going to go start this meal. And, you know, if the show's still kicking after I get dinner going and stuff, maybe I'll buzz you in and bother you and all our listeners for, you know, 15 or 20.
Well, you better be playing some Burn in the background while you're cooking that meal, baby.
Shit. Nah, we're watching reality TV. Flavor Flav's on it, dude.
All right, so we'll see you on Friday to stand up to police violence against the shooting of Aaron Campbell, right?
Yep, and we will be broadcasting a special Burn show live from the site. We won't be able to take calls. Well, maybe we will if we have our laptop, but we might not be able to take calls, but we will be broadcasting live and talking to people down there on the site in the streets. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I've talked to you about it. Hey, yeah, check out the Ning. Read the blog.
I read it. It was fucking awesome. I need to leave a comment on it, but it's really great. Blog talk or bottom up radicalnetwork.ning.com. Everybody, check it out. Good writings. Keep the conversation going. And if I get a few extra minutes, then I'll call back in and bother you some more.
Cool, man. Fuck shit up at the kitchen.
Word.
All right.
Later.
All right, so that was Burns G20 piping in a little bit. A little bit of history about G20 that I didn't know. See, we learn something new every day here on Burn. I didn't know he went to punk rock shows at the Elks Lodge. Didn't know that. So my computer is now officially shitting out, so I can't exactly get to a song right away. I'm going to try, but it's not looking very promising. That also means that I won't be able to get to the switchboard. So if you are calling in right now, I apologize that I'm not pulling you onto the air and unmuting your phone, but my switchboard is down until I can get my computer up and running properly again. So what I was going to do, I was going to play some Clash and talk about that. What I was talking about was when Joe Strummer died. Remember when Kurt Cobain killed himself? It was all over the fucking media. It was this huge shockwave. You know, he's so influential. You know, okay, Kurt Cobain was not that influential in his time. In fact, he was just playing fucking dirty punk rock music until he got signed to a major label and started having better equipment and more time to play his music and became a better musician. But he came from the punk rock genre as well, and but he got all these accolades for killing himself. Joe Strummer lived a full life, died of cancer, and you know, possibly one of the most influential musicians in the 1980s, at least. Any band that you talk to now is going to say they were influenced by The Clash, and most people that are into radical politics listen to The Clash as well. Why? Because they're fucking radical. The lyrics were fucking radical. Now, they were a major label band. They toured the country in fucking airplanes and drove expensive cars, but the issues that they brought to light were not being brought to light by any other music on the radio at that time. So, of course, the radio songs that get picked are the songs that have absolutely no scathing political content. But anybody who picked up those albums had politics shoved down their fucking throat. And that's one of the amazing energetic powers of punk rock that things like even folk music don't have. Folk music has always been a political music, always. It's inherently so. It's music of the people, therefore it's got to be political. In some sense, even if it's just telling stories, that's a political statement. But punk rock takes that political statement to an extreme that is unrivaled, in my opinion. Possibly the only other form of music that has come to that level is hip hop. Hip hop is definitely a strong political voice in a lot of ways. But again, the bulk of the hip hop that we are introduced to by any form of major media outlet is, of course, bullshit. Punk rock somehow, though, has always been able to slip through the cracks, and maybe it's because it's the niche. It's the niche factor that punk rock is going to be anarchistic or politically radical. We see bands like fucking Against Me getting fucking huge, playing these huge stadium shows, singing songs about anarchism, and what happens? The fucking singer goes on TV and tells people to vote for Barack Obama. It's fucking bullshit, but there's other punk rock bands that are still screaming the message, and true punk rock kids know where the respect lies. They know where the truth is and where the credentials go for bands that do stay true, and that's what's always been one of the most important things. So even when the Clash, even with the Clash being a large-scale mainstream band, they've still been effective in maintaining the political stance. Possibly because they didn't have, they didn't go on to make more albums after they reached too much popularity. I don't know. I mean, we'll never know. But I will say that they have been definitely one of the most influential musicianship wise bands. And as far as political content goes, it's undeniable.
Why drive the rainbow? Why drive?
Clash is White Riot, and if you read the lyrics of that song, it's what it's talking about is the complacency of the people they were surrounded by, dominant culture, white, middle class. And when I say dominant, I mean dominant both in the ownership of goods and in the media exposure. But the song's talking about how, especially in the late 60s through the 70s, black populations of England and America were rising up in strong forces of violent reaction to poverty and to living under the police state. And but white people weren't. And that song was calling out, saying, you know, just because you're middle class, just because you're represented in a different light in dominant culture doesn't mean you can't fight back. Which is another point of that needs to be made still today. Just because you are a radical and you go to fucking radical spaces and you live a vegan lifestyle and you're straight edge or you're not or whatever it is you are, doesn't mean you don't have the responsibility to get out in the streets and create a fucking mess. Because you do. That's really what's on my mind lately. I'm going to bring it up through a little more modern time with myself and music and what music has been important to me. This band, as I got into the hardcore punk scene, when I say hardcore punk, I'm not talking about the hardcore punk of the 80s. I'm talking about metal, hardcore metal, which stems from punk rock and it's rooted in punk rock. There was a band, talk about music that is rife with political content, but very much lacking in political action, it's fucking hardcore. I go to hardcore shows and I see kids screaming the most radical lyrics, but I don't go to hardcore shows anymore. When I did, but at the same time, there weren't uprisings of these kids in the street. I may be making generalizations, and you're going to get pissed if you feel offended. And if you feel offended, it's probably about you. But if you're in the streets, then this isn't about you. One of the bands that had a huge effect with their strong political content was a band from Sweden by the name of The Refused. Refused came and revolutionized hardcore music and just the bass sound of it, and they took it to a new level of musicianship while still maintaining their strong anarchist politics.
Come into the air, more out of us too. We got more coming right now. There's more coming. We're gonna get a little sort of a session going here. A bit of a session. A session that will feature the rhythm section.
I really hate technology. Okay. Is this back now? I should be back. Fuck. Whatever. We're not professionals here. We're just a bunch of anti-civilization slaves to technology. Fuck it. So that was Refused that you heard with Liberation Frequency. You can check that out on The Shape of Punk to Come. I don't know, this show is kind of starting to sound like a standard show on a mix of music, which it wasn't the plan. The plan was actually to have some influential singers, songwriters of throughout my time with punk rock call in tonight. But I got no response back from a couple of them, such as Chris Hanna from Papa Gandhi was contacted, but no response back from him yet. So we'll see if we can get him on a future show. Brendan is doing what he loves in Vegas. Shuggy's got prior engagement. So I'd like to open this up for conversation. And so the phone lines are open. Go ahead. You're online.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hey, it's Jake.
Hey, Jake, it's fuck. What's happening?
Oh, not a lot. I guess we used to play in kind of a punk band together.
We did, and I've been waiting to drop that shit on this show tonight. We didn't mean to have a punk rock band at first, but that's just kind of what happened.
Yeah, that definitely did happen. I've been listening in for the most part tonight. My connection went bad or something a couple times.
It's not your connection, bro. It's the feds. We all
yeah.
Fucking know it.
I guess as far as punk rock goes, I got into it a lot later in life. And I kind of was led into it through whatever. I mean, I can't even recall. I guess Rise Against was probably like the first even punk rock whatsoever band, which is so lame to say in public, I guess. But and then I've gradually found out about all this great punk rock music, new and old in some cases. The newer stuff that I like happens to be really underground, but as far as old punk rock goes, I've gotten into Crass and
so you're talking about the newer stuff being like Realicide out of Cincinnati.
Yeah, I like those.
Yeah, absolutely,
guys.
And I'd love to be playing some of them, but my Realicide disc is missing in the move.
Ooh.
Yeah, fucking bummer.
Well, I'll have to send you over some of that because, yeah, I really like that stuff from the more electronic hardcore sort of genre, as they call them. That's the funny thing to me about punk is, like, there's all these, like, sub-genres and divisions, and that's not, you know, this sort of punk, that's not that sort of punk now. And as I understand it, I mean, it's all punk. It all sort of is supposed to come from the same ethic. It's just kind of a crazy thought to me to just, you know, to divide each other based on, like, what the music supposedly sounds like. It's very...
kind of like anarchists that divide each other based on their hyphen.
There you go.
It's not just punk rock, but it seems to be a microcosm, macrocosm of fucking bullshit mentality.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, I guess my major problem with that is I think it comes from a viewpoint of privilege a lot of times. And, you know, here we are, you know, we could talk about this till we're fucking blue in the face. But, I mean, there is just a sort of sense of privilege in thinking that, A, your strain of thought is so much better than someone else's, when in reality, you know, if you view it in some sort of historical revolutionary standpoint, from that standpoint, everything would be a failure in the so-called social movements of history because the same people continue to win, as it's called. But, I mean, that's all bullshit. That's a bullshit mindset, and it's, you know, that's why I don't think like that. I think in the sense of insurrection, and so that's just a more unified front. I'm fighting with whoever's fighting.
Absolutely.
That's what's important to me, and so... And the funny thing is, I draw a lot of that inspiration from hip-hop, punk rock, and anarchism, and the people who I've met through those avenues. And so it's a crazy thing to think about, because I'm super critical of all those avenues as well.
Well, as we should be. Like, we're allowed to be critical of that which we call our own.
Right.
I think that's the thing, is like, within the anarchist milieu, you are not, especially in Portland, you're not allowed to criticize other anarchists. Otherwise, you're a fucking fascist, and you're an asshole, and it's all your fault. You should read the comments going on in the fucking Portland Indie Media right now about a post I put up just calling shame on all the anarchists. 9 anarchists showed up to confront the Olympic ceremonies that were taking place in downtown Portland. Now, I realize that's a symbolic small event. It's not the Olympics in Vancouver, so you're not going to get your fucking picture in a crime think blog.
Right.
But it's still important to be faced up against. And so I call out the bullshit on it, and all of a sudden I'm being blamed for not organizing a protest.
Right. As if organized protests, you know, have worked in 20, or, you know, what has it been, 10 years. You know, like, I don't know. Yeah, give it a rest as far as those guys go, man. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. And then it goes right back to the point of the point it seems like you're trying to make. I read, if it's the same thing as on the bottom up Ning or whatever that's set up, that I read it, and I feel like we could go to every city and certainly have that viewpoint, because not a lot's going on right now. And I really like the part about the underground effectiveness and how that doesn't even work if there's no, you know, no one working on a solution from above ground, so to speak.
Or making a stink above ground, at the very least.
That's what's really necessary, and that's all that's been happening in any situation where some form of underground resistant action was, you know, was sort of, I guess, again, a little more quote-unquote successful, whatever that does mean. But, I mean, when you think about the 60s or something like that, I don't know, it's a bunch of kids out there. A lot of them are doing, you know, a bunch of drugs, and a lot of them end up doing way too many drugs, probably. But, you know, they're just making a stink in public and putting it, you know, at that time it happened to work to get it on the television screen or whatever. Well, I mean, now it doesn't help to get it on the television screen. Now there's no way. I mean, I've seen news reports on ELF and ALF actions, for instance, and, you know, they just know exactly how to paint it. these people are terrorists. And the masses buy into that shit. Well, in that case, why are we trying to organize with the masses? You know, like,
I'm so fucking fed up with the masses.
Yeah,
it's just that whole idea.
I see a bunch of dead people walking around. You know, as far as people who are stuck in mainstream culture, I oftentimes confuse them for just being like robots or something. And it's not metaphysical or anything like that. I get the same reactions. I was going, Crass and I were going to try to get someone to sign a petition or something so we can get enough money to go on this fucking tour. The modern world, you know. And we go down to Soulard for the Mardi Gras thing. And, I mean, people are just, they won't even look you in the face. Now, you're a human being, you know. This is what the masses are. This is the second largest party in all of a party that happens in one spot in all of America, apparently. New Orleans has the biggest. And I'm going down there, so there's thousands of people in the streets. This is the masses. Thousands of people in the streets to see a fucking float go by for the Mardi Gras parade. And they're all wasted, and everyone's, oh, look at that guy's beard. I swear, I heard that 50 fucking times in a row before, you know, I just told one guy, hey, you know, why don't you kiss my ass? Because, you know, I'm tired of just being a symbol or something. So, I mean, the masses can go fuck themselves.
And this whole notion of being organized anyway, like, you know, the running joke is always like, whoa, anarchists organized? Like, well, not really anymore. I wish I could say, yeah, we are organized. And in some cases, we are. We're very organized. And one thing that anarchists are good at is coming up with a way to get through periods of crisis within their own community.
Absolutely.
You know, we're really good at throwing fundraisers. We're really good at coming up with money to send comrades across the country for jail support and things like that. But what we're horrible with is building a network of people that can stand to fucking handle one another on a daily basis.
Right.
And,
I mean,
and that leads to the inability to fucking mobilize at a moment's notice. You don't fucking know when the next pig is going to kill the next unarmed fucking person in the streets.
Right.
So that's
got to
be something you can go on a fucking moment.
We could take a good guess. It'll probably be tomorrow in the United States, because
right. It
seems to happen all the fucking time. And yet, you know, yeah, like you're saying, I mean, it seems like it's not even rarely, though. I wouldn't say it's rarely, because there have been plenty of actions that, you know, have hit various different cities across the country. Pittsburgh would be a good example of it, you know, just based on hearing about it. I didn't happen to go, but
Pittsburgh was phenomenal.
Right. And so you had a mobilized resistance of sorts.
But that was based on organization. That did take months and months of organizing.
Right.
It shouldn't have to, but
right.
It did.
And that's the thing, is that you've got to convince everyone in the world that your reason for organization is somehow more important than some other reason or something, or more important than going to work, or whatever
right.
it is. And
one of
like,
the continuous things that you hear in Portland when you come out here on tour is you'll hear people say things like, oh, was that your protest? Or, you know, or, oh, this is my protest. Like, excuse me? Fuck off. Like, you know, people were saying when I posted this article, this short bit on fucking Portland Indie Media, they were like, oh, so you're just pissed because people didn't come to your protest. And it's like, look, I'm not a fucking organizer, number one. Number two, I'm pissed because you don't give a shit enough to stand up in solidarity with my fucking friends who are fighting fucking life and limb in Vancouver,
right.
But you wear the fucking T-shirt well.
And that ties us into punk rock pretty well, because you do have plenty of scenester anarchists out there. And like you were saying earlier when you were talking with Travis about how it's something that gets sold at the mall. I don't believe that even a lot of these kids are buying it at the mall exactly, because that's some teenage shit, and it seems to be mostly 20s white guys, you know, for the most part in a lot of the anarchist community, you know, so more like openly declaring anarchist, you know, of which I'm part of that demographic. It's just what I notice or whatever. And
People wonder why there's not a lot of people over the age of 30 in the anarchist community.
Well, I mean, it's a very ageist movement, first of all, first and foremost.
Absolutely.
And I
there's no respect for elders because that's this whole smash all authority thing. It's like, look, just because somebody has a little more experience doesn't make them an authority figure. It makes them a leader, and that's okay.
Right, and there's such things in the world as wisdom, for instance. You know, so if you have
And it's not the end-all, be-all either. Like, they might be wrong.
Of course not. Yeah, I mean, I'm totally on the same page with you there. I think it's...
Yeah, and I mean, I'll admit it. I think I was probably wrong once. And hey.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
But I was in my 20s then, so...
Right. And I mean, it's just a hilarious sort of situation. I totally agree. As far as the humor also goes, I personally love... I happen to have an album coming out that I'll have for you when we get up there called Green is the Color of Dead White Men.
And I meant to be on that album. I've just been so wrapped up with shit here, man. I apologize.
It's all good. I think you'll really like it. So that NoFX song earlier was just like, God, why didn't I sample that? You know, like, why didn't I think of it?
Hidden track.
Yeah, no shit.
Green is the Color of Dead White Men, Volume 2. Green is the color of more white people, or more dead white people.
Throw them all in there. No, I mean, so it's great to hear sort of your viewpoints on punk rock. And then, I mean, as far as the Portlanders go, I mean, I just, if any of them are listening out there, I'd just like to say, what the hell? I mean, what's the point? Why are we infighting at all? You know, and that's
right.
The other
why
thing.
Why did the Franklins move to Portland?
Well, I mean, you have you have those kinds of questions to toss out there. But, I mean, as far as that community goes, that's just not good to hear. I would say that much. Because
it's worse to feel than it is to hear, I'll tell you right now.
Of course. Of course. But it's
and that's what these idiots don't get, that, like, you know, they get some criticism that's honest criticism from somebody who's not interested in their seamster politics, and they can't fucking hack it, and all they do is point fingers and one guy's saying, you know, fuck you, you've never done anything worth a shit in your life. He doesn't even know who I am. I'm just an anonymous poster on this list. He's
right.
Like, you know, there are people here who these anarchists that you're talking about, these, you know, because I made a joke about fucking getting, are you too fat on vegan cookies, and is your head too full of Chomsky headaches to fucking actually get in the streets? And they're like, oh, so now you're making fun of fat people and vegans. And it's like, you even fucking know who you're talking to? No.
Right.
Like, get the fucking joke or get the fuck out. Like, joke you if you can't take a fuck.
Right. And it's, I mean, so you got a real touchy-feely sort of scene going on there, and that's just all it reminds me of. I mean, because, I don't know, we have this anarchist reading group in St. Louis, and what's discussed at the meetings, you know, like, whatever, but for the most part, it's just some kids getting together discussing some literature. You know,
borderline bourgeois.
Yeah, exactly. I've definitely said that I feel like it's inactive, and it's very white male centric, and bourgeois as fuck. Like, it's fun.
And to be fair, it's entertainment, which is fine in and
right.
of itself. It's fine to say, oh, I realize this isn't resistance action, but
right.
it's necessary for my fucking soul and my spirit.
Well, and one thing that was discussed at the past meeting was, and this is totally a social issue, so it's not really of any, it doesn't need to be hidden by our lovely CIA agent who's watching us tonight or listening. Hello, sir. Go fuck yourself.
Get a fucking job.
Yeah, get a fucking job. But regardless, one of the things that was discussed was this idea that, in South St. Louis, for instance, there's this, like, little bohemia culture. And it's, like, this wannabe fucking wine-drinking, coffee-drinking, cigarette-smoking, skinny jeans sort of life that I personally...
So you have little Portland in St. Louis.
Yeah, yeah. It is trying to be little Portland. And people talk about Portland a lot because I'm sure you'll... remember this from having lived there and then coming, going other places around the country or whatever. People do talk about Portland like it's, you know, like that's what utopia is or something. It's a very liberal ideal that's stuck in a lot of people's heads. I haven't been there in like 10 years, but I mean, I'm sure there's plenty to work on there, just like there's plenty to work on here, you know. But it's held up to this light, is what I'm trying
to
say.
Police killings here are rampant. They're rampant. And now I'm not talking about the good kind where police get killed. I'm talking about police killing unarmed people. It's rampant here, and radicalism is fucking all but dead. But what there is there's a slew of anti-capitalist businesses everywhere. I don't know what's more anti-capitalist about a $2 cup of coffee at one fucking capitalist institution or one that has a circle A on a flag that calls itself an anti-capitalist institution. It's still a $2 cup of cash crop.
Right. I'm not exactly – I don't understand that. See, I was operating under the assumption that when they call themselves like anti-capitalist or anti-profit, I think I've heard some of them called – in other parts of the country, not here.
And here too. There's one that's called. It was called anti-profit, and it was also. That's a touchy subject. I won't get on it, but.
Right.
But they closed down.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
As any good business should.
Yeah. And they ended up fulfilling their promise after all. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing anti-profit about a business, and that's another thing that has just been on my mind a lot recently. Is like. Man, these small businesses sure do get a break. And I don't know if you've read some of the communiques from Greece, but a couple of the ones that I read were really fucking hard on small businesses. And they really seem to have ideologically, and, again, fuck that, to be honest. It's for bourgeois people to get to discuss and everything. But as sort of a... as someone reading about Greece, because I wasn't there, I wasn't there because it's not my fucking country, and it's not my land to be on. And I'm not even sure what my land to be on is anymore, but for now, I live in St. Louis, Missouri. There's plenty I can fucking do if I want to do something about the world here.
Right. When we stood up in the streets with the solidarity banner with Greece, it wasn't about Greece. It was about fighting against the police in University City.
Exactly.
Based upon the idea of saying that it doesn't just have to happen in Greece, it should happen here.
Yeah.
And, we're grateful that Greece is happening. We stand in solidarity, we don't just say that we agree with Greece.
Right.
Solidarity means we stand up in the streets and fight cops there, too.
Exactly. And so what a couple of those communiques were saying, essentially, was fuck these small businesses. They pay us less than minimum wage, and we rarely even get our checks. Because that's the case in a lot of small businesses. You're just
some of the most exploitative businesses there are small businesses.
Yeah, and so they seem to have a really good understanding of that. Again, you could say the conditions are this and that in Greece, and they've had fascism,
It's not as bad in Greece as it is here, I guarantee it.
Right, well, I mean...
Our prison population is the highest in the world, so
exactly.
Fuck the idea that we're any better
that,
off.
Man. And that's what people don't get about repression, is that it is different than oppression, and you can still live a white bourgeoisie life if you happen to be from a white bourgeoisie background. It's
right, and if you're not,
true.
You can live under the assumption that you live a white bourgeoisie life as long as you have a credit card and a fucking McDonald's.
Exactamundo. That's all it takes, because it's all set up, it's all there for you, and it's all a fucking lie and an illusion, too. But... it is cookie-cutter, homogenous existence. Everywhere you go, there's a fucking Walgreens across from a CVS pharmacy. One of them's having their grand opening. The other one thinks they're getting ready to close, and then they swap spaces every fucking 5 years because it's the same fucking thing. It does not matter. But repression throws people in jail by setting them up. They've figured out that they'd rather control the mental than control the physical, exactly. And I mean,
fascism doesn't rule with a boot anymore.
Exactly, because people would fight it immediately. And
yeah, and what do they call it when your computer turns on? It's called booting up.
Yeah. Kicking you right in the fucking...
Think about it while you're listening to my radio show on the computer.
Exactly.
You just booted up and logged on.
Right. And it's and it's some crazy subliminal shit going on. And what I mean, that's the thing, is that people oftentimes, I reach sort of this point in the conversation with someone else, just a lot of other people in general, and it becomes this like, well, what do we do? And it's like, well, okay, couple things here. I could tell you what I think we should do. I could tell you some aspects of what I do or what I've done or something like that.
If I want to go to prison.
Yeah, for starters. and also, you know, because it's just that is the kind of world we live in as well in a lot of aspects. But let's say, you know, I feel like I have some reason to trust the person. Still, it's kind of a trivial factoid sort of moment. It's another sharing of information. And essentially, I mean, it's passive. And at this point, I think that there's a sort of sharp dividing point right now where it's like, I honestly feel like we're either going to fight this or we're just not going to anymore. And there's going to be like this acceptance of everything on behalf
right.
of, you know, again.
And if that's the case, please take down the posters, please take off the T-shirts, and please take off the bumper stickers, because I'm tired of being represented by a bunch of fucking misanthropes.
Exactly.
I'm tired of being represented by people who want to pretend that they are involved with a solidarity group that gives a shit, but they don't give a shit. All they do is take a shit. That's
exactly.
all they're doing. And there's
exactly.
a huge fucking difference. I got a song I want to play real quick.
Okay.
Are you okay with that, or you got a thought you want to finish?
No, absolutely. Go ahead.
You're going to love this. This I've actually put this on Thinking of You Tonight when I found this online. This is fucking hilarious. This is Dictionary-okies, Bulls on Parade. Against the machine.
Should not be afraid of their governments.
And that was enough of that.
Governments should be afraid.
I'm going to play this song while Reverend Dr. Mason Bilderberg is on the line with us. This is what punk rock has done for me in my life. It had the ability for me to not take no for an answer and do what we want to do when we want to fucking do it. And that's what this band was all about. This is Holy 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 with Fuck Shit Up.
without dancing is a revolution not worth having.
Think about that, Rev.
It's a good song, that's for
sure. Yeah, good time.
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to ask you, have you ever heard of this strand of punk called permie punk?
Oh my God, no.
It's a permaculture punk, I guess it's short for.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking concise. Like compartmentalizing for a genre of music that refuses to be compartmentalized.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
I love the idea of permaculture. I think permaculture is pretty fucking okay, and I love the idea of punk rock. I think it's pretty fucking okay, but I don't know if I would marry the two into a permie punk.
No, yeah, it was just something I stumbled across. You know, one day looking for places to play on tour or something, ended up at this place, and it's like they call it like an e-zine or something. I'm kind of sick of irony, to be honest, and just this whole ironic world we live in, where it's just like very you know, I'm sitting here looking at someone telling me about permaculture on the internet, and it's just sort of can be frustrating, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I host an anti-civilization anarchist fucking radio show that's an internet radio show. Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, but at the same time, like, I do believe that one of the gifts that we have at our disposal right now is this overwhelming use of creative forces that are available to be used. And if they're here, we can use them in our fashion, as long as we don't depend on that.
Right.
You know, like if once we depend upon Twitter feeds and Facebook to organize protests, or if we depend upon organization to stand up against police violence, period.
Right.
Once that's there, we're fucked. And once our entire criticism of our communities takes place on a fucking thread on an
right.
indie media site, we're fucked.
Yeah.
But I think it's okay to use these tools. I mean, you know, I use this. I for instance, you know, I've got two pretty fucking amazing warriors for children, and
right.
we get a lot of the information that we can't get passed down to us generationally by our parents, who don't know shit because they've been involved with the same system and machine that we are
right.
Birthed into. So we don't know how to learn about indigenous plants and medicinal herbs and wild edibles. So we go on the internet to find that out.
Right. And it's,
you know, it's that simple.
Right. And so, I mean, in those cases, when used correctly, absolutely should be used, because it's available no matter what. And to cut yourself off from a resource, especially in times like these, would not be the brightest idea. I do think that it has its misuses as well. Of course, you just mentioned some of them, as far as you know, people trying to organize or have something to say about a community on a thread on the internet or something. Yeah, I mean, come on, that's garb, total trash, and just to be taken out with the rest of the fucking trash. To quote Big Boy from Outkast, you know, all trash gets mashed and compacted. You know, same shit, whatever, man.
Right. And, but big ups to quote Biggie Smalls, big ups goes out to our crew that have used the internet effectively, in fact, so effectively that they're facing prison time for it. Well, Sherman Austin, for instance, he did do prison time for RaiseTheFist.com, which
yeah.
was simply a website that disseminated information, and he was put in prison. So it can be threatening.
Of course.
Stops being threatening, then it needs to be either used deeper or abandoned.
Done away with, yeah.
It's that simple. Like, you know, if your only source of fucking information and threat is on the internet, then you're just as much a part of the fucking problem as anything else.
Right. I think reminds me of, I don't know how much time we got left here, but
we got 3 minutes.
Okay. Reminds me of, in Derek Jensen's book, Endgame, there's this part where he's talking to, like, two guys who are, like, hackers.
Oh, yeah, great.
And
yeah.
It's a very romanticized sort of story, and we don't.
Oh,
we
yeah,
don't have...
sitting in a whispering in a coffee shop over diner food.
Right, and he's, you know, because he's a romantic sort of writer, and I do like.
And that's what's great about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is, I feel like, absolutely a good point as far as what can we do with this technology. There's some great points made in there about, like, you know, it's not just hacking in and stealing some money or anything like that. You know, it could be used to stop raw material shipments or something.
Right.
And which
well,
which,
you know, and like the point is, like, the question that he also addresses in that book is, can you use the master's tools to dismantle the master's house? Absolutely.
Right.
George Washington Hayduke uses bulldozers to dismantle other bulldozers.
Right. And I mean, you have all kinds of examples historically of it. And I mean, our master happens to have a monopoly on tools, man. He got all the tools. He gets all the violence.
And he has all the fucking all of the bodies to use those tools.
Exactly. And so, in that case, we got no choice. We don't have our own tools. You know, we'll make up new shit as we go. But I mean, yeah, you gotta use whatever's available, I think.
And whoever's available, you have to be able to stand in solidarity with people, no matter what. If they're on the my deal is, like, we can ideologically agree or disagree all day, but if you're linked arms with me against a line of cops in the streets, then we're fucking fighting the same fight.
Absolutely, because that's the proof right there, man. Is that we're willing to stand and fight together, then whatever else needs to be
addressed. We'll work that shit out later.
Needs to be addressed later. Yeah. I mean, there's
first
no...
the fight, then the rent. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean.
But we're gonna get cut off here.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in tonight, man. I love the shit out of you, and I can't wait to see you guys in a few weeks.
Right on. Love you too. Yeah, we'll be out there in about 3 weeks.
Cool, man. I'm gonna end it in the show with a song. You're only gonna hear part of it live, but it's gonna be in the archive. This is one of the best Papagandhi songs, in my opinion. And we thought nation states were a bad idea. By Robert Gandhi.
Alright, peace out, brother.
Take care, brother.
Subsidized, privately profitable. The end of the upper care, but the care untouchable. Focus the moment, not in approval. Bury our heads back in the bottles of these neo-colonials. A former nemesis, the romance of the nation state. Now we're fundraising for a new red power concentrate. Try again, but now we're confused. What is class war? It's a class war, yes, it's a class war. And I'm just a kid. I can't believe I got a word from this kind of shit. What a stupid world. And it's beautiful. No regard for principle. What a stupid world. Born, hired, skin, bones, where that's the blast. Everybody knows you can tell by the smile from the CEO. Environmental restraints about to go.
Everybody, thanks for tuning in. If you're in the Portland area, I hope to see you on Friday in front of City Hall in downtown Portland to stand up against the warrantless murder of Aaron Campbell, a 25-year-old black man unarmed by a Portland police officer at the end of an AR-15 assault rifle. 3:30 on Friday. Hope to see you there. If you're not in St. Louis, I hope to see reports that other police stations had some actions in front of them, performed protests, vigils, whatever it is you want to do. Otherwise, keep tuning in every Sunday. Next Sunday, we're going to have a pretty fun show.
set up for you. I'm not gonna go into that who it is. And then the Sunday after that, on the 28th, we have Doug Peacock, the real life George Washington Hayduke, the man who Ed Abbey based his character off of. So, fuck. There's no fucking reason to miss that shit. So we'll see you here next Sunday, 6 p.m. In the meantime, give me something to talk about.